Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to part two of this week's Clash of the Titles, the podcast that for the month of December puts two Christmas movies with loads in common in a fight to the death to see which one comes out victorious, because it's this year's final Merry Clashmas Christmas Countdown. Ho, ho, ho. We spent Monday's episode with Rogan, Gordon Levitt and Mackie. They were our guides round NYC looking for an awesome party, which means today Jason Bateman, TJ Miller and a stacked cast of comedy talent prove that if you can't get to the party, bring the party to you. And what a party it is. From 2016, it's Office Christmas Party.
It's Christmas. We should celebrate, they said. Just a little get-together for the employees. Have a few drinks. Blow off a little steam. Nothing crazy.
Merry Christmas, Jeremy. Great night, huh?
This is a sample cheese board for a holiday mixer tonight.
I'm sorry, you're having a Christmas party tonight?
It's not happening.
All right, it's canceled.
So, which film in this week's Christmas Carnage Clash will be victorious? We'll have a winner at the end of the show, so let's get it on. Welcome to the final Clash of the Titles, Merry Clashmas Christmas Countdown. Ho, a ho, ho.
The Kraken.
Hello, Clash Butters. All right, let's light this fucking candle. I'm Alex Zane.
I'm Vicky Crumpton.
And it is still just me, V, and the for today's episode. C will be back next week and welcome to part two of The Night Before versus Office Christmas Party. As you well know, the end of this episode features the verdict where we will declare which is definitively the better Christmas film. But just before we get into this, it's time for a review from one of you to make us feel better about us, read by Chris Tilly, aka Vicky Crompton.
This is from Joe in Tacoma, Washington. So I hope that's not a bit of Washington that I've previously slagged off via the Rotten Tomatoes points-based system. It's called Klaxon, Klaxon, I'm All In, which obviously I appreciate. Ready? Question one. Which Clash of the Titles host was wronged when a Sam Raimi film won instead of the other film in the episode? Answer, The Crow lost to Darkman, so it was Vicky Crumpton. Question two. Which Clash of the Titles host has quoted, and the thing about a shark is he's got lifeless black eyes like a doll's eyes, more than twice on the pod? That's Alex.
Hello.
Question three. Which Clash of the Titles host said, set against the backdrop of a truly terrible musical movement? That was Chris, formerly Chris Tilly, which I appreciated. Sorry, that's me speaking. That's very funny. Klaxon, Klaxon. With three amazing hosts that make each other laugh and the fans laugh, as we are rounding out another year of podcast excellence, I wish nothing but health and happiness to Vicky, Alex and Chris and their families. Isn't that nice? Thank you all from Joe. What a nice thing to say.
Joe, that's really nice.
People are just nice.
That's really nice. That's
I love
lovely.
That. Oh. Yeah. Happy Christmas to you,
Merry
dude.
Christmas.
And your family.
Yeah.
Love it.
Thank you.
There you go.
That was great. That was lovely. Oh, what a way to start this show. Okay, so on Monday, V was at the ball breakable. Sorry, the nutcrackable.
Funny.
Yep. Which means today, this isn't my first rodeo. It's time to head to one of cinema's most brilliant blowouts in 2016's Office Christmas Party. Let me take you on a journey. Xenotech is failing because it needs to be 12%, not 6.5% something something yawn. But sure, we are definitely watching this for the story of inventing new internet from toasters. Anyway, big-hearted, generous trust fund boss Clay wants to save the company and throw the greatest Christmas party in the world, TM. But his evil Ice Queen sister, who has literally fallen out of the pages of a Disney cartoon, won't let him and probably wants to cast a spell, smothering Chicago in an eternal winter. With the help of his lovable divorcee friend Josh, they throw the work Christmas bash to end all work Christmas bashes, largely thanks to copious amounts of cocaine blasted into the room from a snow machine. Cue toilet sex, property destruction, Jesus galloping bareback through a baying crowd. Like I said, it's one hell of a shindig, rivaled only by the after party of the first live Clash of the Titles show. Clash Putters, for your consideration. In Office Christmas Party, histories with this movie, when did you see it, V?
I'm just going to be honest, because this is a safe space.
Is it?
I thought I'd seen it, but I was thinking of Horrible Bosses, so I haven't seen it. There you go. Sorry about that. Very similar to me, sort of.
Yeah, I get that. I go.
Holster's kind of.
Bateman and Aniston.
There we go. That's all I need. Yep. So I was like, I've seen this. I like it. I was like, I haven't seen this. And I do like it.
Right?
Yeah.
I wish I'd known this was your first watch.
I wish I'd known, but I didn't.
Yeah. So I watched it a few years ago, and it's now entered that much hallowed sphere of a movie I watch every Christmas because it is fucking awesome. My God, I love this movie. I love this movie so much. It's up there with Scrooged and Die Hard.
Okay.
The Holy Trinity.
Yeah, if you will.
Of Christmas movies. Watched it last year. Actually, it was a bit triggering this year. I watched it last year. Mm. Remember I was seeing that girl last year?
Yes.
This time last year? And
there's a bit of a divorce chat in there, isn't there?
Well, yeah, but it was more about the fact that, you know, I was seeing that girl.
Yeah.
And then we watched it together. And it was
We
got drunk and watched it. And, you know, and it was just like the perfect movie to watch at a point in time. And I think it was snowing outside. But it definitely wasn't. But I've romanticised it to that point that sitting down to watch this show, I'm like, okay, if I get through this watch, then it can re-enter, like, the
sphere.
You can
cleanse, in the nicest possible
way.
Sorry, not being disrespectful.
It was very difficult.
It was snowing this time last year. You're not lying, because it was Marshall's birthday. It snowed on his birthday. So it was. I'm sorry, sweetie. I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's still a cracking movie. Right then, I just want to know a bit about this movie.
No.
I did it on Monday.
I don't really. I mean, what is there to know?
A Hollywood producer, Guymon Cassidy, he'd produced Steve Jobs, Hope Springs. He goes up to Will Speck and Josh Gordon and goes, make a movie about a party at Christmas.
And they go, yeah.
And they went, yeah, all right.
No problem. Love to.
At this point, they'd had a couple of hits. A big hit with Blades of Glory.
Yes.
That's theirs. They wrote and directed that. They also wrote and directed The Switch.
Oh, I've seen that.
What a weird premise for a movie. If you haven't seen The Switch, it's where Jason Bateman swaps out a sperm donor's sperm with his own sperm and Jennifer Aniston has his baby without realising.
Cruel.
Interesting premise for a knockabout comedy.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Regal. Cruel. Yes.
They love the idea, though. I've got a couple of quotes from them, actually, Will Speck and Josh Gordon. They say they wanted to do this because the night of an office Christmas party is so rife with danger and high stakes and tension. You're always one drink away from ruining your professional life.
Or just life.
Are you having an office Christmas party?
Well,
I don't have an office,
no.
But you do have an office.
We do have an office, but we work in the third sector. So.
Which always makes me think sci-fi, but
oh,
isn't.
God, sorry, that sounds really exciting.
It really does.
I work in the voluntary sector. There you go, that's better.
Okay, that's not as exciting.
So, in fairness, they don't pay for anything because 100% of our funding goes to support our beneficiaries. So there's no Christmas parties.
Ultimate werewolf.
But the charity sector does attract people that, like, we're good, sort of like, we're a little bit like belt and braces, let's get stuck in, we can make a party out of nothing kind of thing.
Oh, great.
I am making my team go to the pub tomorrow.
Woo!
And I've done them a quiz, and they are going to fucking do this quiz, and they are going to love it.
Cool.
I'm really contradictory. I hate enforced fun, but at Christmas time, everybody please get on this quiz train.
Yeah, it's about the only time where I turn a blind eye to enforced fun.
I know.
And don't look witheringly at people.
And also, you'll hate this about me. I was like, we're doing an international Christmas quiz because I just want to bring in our global brothers and sisters at this time of year. I don't want it to be like, what does Kevin say in Home Alone? Boring. I want it to be like, in which country, just the tradition of XYZ.
Give me an example question.
In which country is famous for having mummers at Christmas?
Canada!
Well,
thank you very much. Also, thank you for the email talking about Canadian mummers this morning.
I just thought it was so interesting.
It is interesting.
And really scary.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
The mummer's home.
If you don't know what a mummer is, look it up. They are very terrified.
Yeah. So we'll do an international Christmas quiz. And then we'll just drink a lot of medium-strength IPAs. Session ales, really, because you want to keep going. That's it. We'll totter off down the Thames together. It'll be nice. That's what we did last year.
Is it embarrassing that I only realised it was this year that I discovered that a session ale is so you can drink longer over a session?
Welcome.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just some beer term.
Well, it's a beer term, isn't
it? Yeah, but it's a sort of, it's a drinking session.
It is, yeah, yes. Well. It's a low percentage.
Every day's a new day for me. When we were younger, this is Speck and Gordon talking again, office Christmas parties were more celebrated. This next sentence might be of interest to you because you're having yours tomorrow.
Yeah.
But in the litigious world we live in with HR and social...
Oh, I can't flirt anymore. Oh, I can't... fucking me too. Shut the fuck up. What happened to flirting? Blah, blah, blah. It's not a thing over here. We're not that litigious. Stop whinging.
So, is that yay or nay to flirting at your office Christmas do? I think, because I know some of your colleagues do listen, so I think it's really important to set out your stall now in terms of what you expect from your team. Yay or nay to flirting?
Christmas flirting, it's fine. It's fine.
Right. So they can flirt.
I think, look, the flirting isn't dead just because women were like, please, can you stop raping us? Like, it's fine.
Merry Christmas. Yep.
I'm just saying. It just drives me up the wall when people are like, well, you can't flirt anymore because of Me Too. And it's like, no, you can't rape anymore because of Me Too.
But you can.
Massive difference.
Yeah, I mean, that's clear. I mean, you know.
Who's that for?
No, I mean, you know, I think...
And I would like to say now on the record...
You couldn't rape before Me Too as well. But also, you know, I mean, it's highlighted a lot. I'm glad.
Yeah, it's always been pretty frowned upon and illegal.
It's definitely bad. However, flirting, you are cool as a boss with some Christmas flirting.
Of course I am.
Some harmless Christmas flirting at your work dress.
If it genuinely is harmless, of course.
Oh, great, 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 great.
And people have different comfort levels, and I try to be cognizant of those comfort levels and not put people in a situation which they would rather not be in. But if it was, you know, if both parties are into it, fine.
I think what might be beneficial, and you know, I'm just coming up with an idea on the fly.
Spreadsheet.
No, I think an example. So I am
a flirt, you know.
No. I'm obviously not, but I'm a trained actor, so I think I can embody a flirt for the purpose of this role play. So I am someone who works in your team at your office Christmas party. No, you are another colleague.
Okay, are we at the same level of seniority? These things are important.
Yes.
Okay, great. You work in a different team, but we're both at the same level. Probably get paid around the same. I probably get a bit more performance related, but fine. Go ahead.
Okay. You look you're really pretty tonight.
Oh, thank you. What team do you work in again? I don't know you.
Oh, computing. The computing team. I do a lot of computing. Are you spending Christmas with your boyfriend? Or...
That's not flirting. That's mining for information. You don't know how to
do it. But I don't want to continue flirting with you if I know you have a partner.
Oh, that's
so
fine.
I'm trying to find that out.
Yeah, I am. I'm spending Christmas with my husband and kids. What are you doing? Oh, that's not a closed door, by the way. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Move on.
Wow.
I'm joking. It's Christmas.
I'm going to need to know what your work Christmas drinks are because I am coming. It sounds fucking fucked up.
the worst Christmas party. Let me tell you something to make me seem sweet again and not like weird and desperate. It was a Christmas party when I was younger. And I'd made my own dress because that was this thing I was into years ago, like easily like 10, 15 years ago. Then I put on my party frock and I was like, I got this nice fabric from Soho and I got it really cheap. And then I made this dress off the internet. And I'm there in my office and I was like, oh, I'm not very good at sewing, it turns out. And I was like, it's going to fucking disintegrate. And it only had like three joins in it because it was like a simple dress that anyone can make. So if it comes apart, it's going to come off. So I spent a long time in the toilets trying to fix it and freaking out and not knowing what to do. And I was in the toilets for so long that my line manager came and was like, Vicky, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. What are you doing? You've been in there for ages. And I was like, oh my God, she thinks I'm going, like, I'm crying or I've had a heart attack or something. I don't know. But I was there for a good, like, 50, we had one toilet, 50 minutes, just like, what can I stitch this dress together with that I've got on me? Like, some weird badges that I had in my bag because I was in my 20s. Right, so that was a bad
Christmas
party.
Stuff.
Yeah, basically.
That's really rude.
What, to come and knock?
No, to have one toilet and you occupy it for 50 minutes
party. I know, one toilet, voluntary sector, through and through. And yeah, it is really rude, but I didn't know what else to do. Sorry.
Well, anyway, Speck and Gordon said, but in the litigious world we live in, with HR and social media, you're not allowed to let chaos and craziness in the workplace exist anymore. So now an office Christmas party can be an act of rebellion. It's almost become anthemic.
Okay.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
That's what they say. So, big hello and thank you for listening to all Vicky's work colleagues and her team and your Christmas party.
See you tomorrow.
It's going to be wild. It is off the fucking chain.
People flirting all over the place.
You have a husband? You have a wife? Doesn't fucking matter.
It's Christmas.
Not tomorrow night, you don't. You lucky sods. You lucky fucking sods.
P.S. This is instead of a bonus. What?
right then, so because we went down a Me Too wormhole there, and because you started talking about having a husband, and still that's not a no. let me try and sweeten, both metaphorically and literally, this show.
Okay,
because he says, bringing his satchel.
Ooh,
do you know what's happened?
No, it's not. Is it? Is it really?
It arrived yesterday, just in time for today.
Did you do some for Chris? He's not here.
No, it's no, he's not. It's for Nikki.
Oh, brilliant!
Nikki, do you want to come in for a moment? I'll give you your present as well.
Do you want some special cake?
It's special cake, Nikki. You're going to want to come in for this. This is our producer, Nikki. So look, there she is, Nikki. So that's for you. You've got one. Okay.
Can I have it?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah. So this is the famous cake of the one and only Santa Cruz, Tom Cruise.
Yay!
My Tom Cruise cake arrived yesterday.
Oh, brilliant.
And this is it. So I thought we could enjoy some Tom Cruise cake.
Thank you, Alex.
You can't hear me, but it smells delicious.
It's always good. And it's vegan, is this correct?
No, it's from Tom Cruise.
Yeah, it's from Tom Cruise. It's from the actual Tom Cruise, yeah.
I'm going to eat it. This happens every year. And now we've got to do a professional broadcast with a face full of delicious cake.
It's a bunch cake.
It's delicious.
Isn't it? Right?
It's really good.
Oh, sorry, this is terrible, terrible podcasting, but also I'm really hungry. I didn't have breakfast.
Yeah, I'm starving.
Okay, let me put someone aside.
All right, wait.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
We should have staggered our chewing. Okay.
All right.
How did that feel?
Delicious.
It's good, isn't it?
It's really nice.
You're really good.
It's a really good cake.
Thank you very much to the lovely Tom Cruise, a very generous and beautiful man. The world's greatest movie star, TM.
Jesus, you were working it hard today, weren't you? That and the werewolves.
Did anyone, after Monday's episode, has anyone bought Ultimate Werewolf? If you have, congratulations. You're immediately entered into the Ultimate Werewolf prize draw. We'll be doing that on next week's show, Ultimate Werewolf. Right then. So that's all I got, really.
That's absolutely fine,
mate. They took it to DreamWorks. DreamWorks went, yeah, it sounds great. Fucking make it. And they made it.
Good luck.
Yep.
Don't fuck
that
it up.
That's literally all they did. Yeah. Everyone was just like, yeah, I'm in.
I want to do it.
Yeah, let's fucking do it. So, let's talk about this bloody movie. We meet Josh, first of all. Yes, thank you for pointing out the trigger, the divorce.
Sorry, yeah.
Divorcing his wife. I was fine with it. It's Jason Bateman, and I think he's so lovable.
Yeah, he is. He's incredibly lovable.
He's just great.
Yeah.
He's great. And that's a great scene with Matt Walsh from Veep as his lawyer.
Yeah.
Oh, is that my Christmas card? No, it's my bill. It's a lovely, lovely opening. So we get to meet Josh, divorcee Josh. And then, is she ever not good? The answer is no. Kate McKinnon.
Oh, she's amazing.
Shows up as Mary. She's the head of HR. And she is talking to Megan, a worker there who's top. Who's top? It's Jamie Chung who plays her. Her top's quite low.
Top's quite low, yeah.
Can we put Dancer and Prancer back in the stable? I'm just like, I don't know. The thing with Kate McKinnon is, like, is that script? Is that you? Yeah. I don't know.
An HR person literally can't describe your breasts like that. Like, that runs counter to HR, but because it's hair, it's fine.
You can't call someone's breast Dancer and Prancer.
They're right, you're shaming her. And no, you can't objectify someone's boobs by pretending they're reindeers.
I let him look at my boobs at the Christmas party last year.
Okay, let's roleplay this.
We're learning.
I'm Megan. Yes. My top is too low. You're the head of HR. In your office, how do you approach me about my low top?
I say, Megan, are you aware of our dress code?
No.
Brilliant. Here's the dress code. Read it. If there's anything that doesn't make sense, come back to me. Okay, that's cool, because I'm all about meeting people where they are, so I've made a video that explains to you the fucking dress code.
What does the video tell me about my dress code?
It says we've got a certain threshold for collar height, and that you... Oh, don't do that, you weirdo!
What? I just showed you one of them.
And then I'd be like, oh, is that what this is? Okay, let's go.
Again, your party tomorrow night is going to be off the hook.
I'm going to get fired.
So, and then we meet Jeremy. This is how stacked the cast is. We got Jeremy, who's Rob Corddry. Normally, I think he's the funniest thing in a movie, and he's the, I hate to say it, he's possibly the least funny one in this movie.
It's a weird one, isn't it?
Because Hot Tub Time Machine, he owns. He owns that movie. That movie would not be as good without him.
I don't know. It's just something in his scenes. Maybe it's the direction of... I don't know. It just doesn't work.
Then we got Joel, played by the brilliant Sam Richardson. He has a fight with a vending machine, gets sprayed in the face. He's a brilliant actor.
Yeah.
Have you watched Werewolves Within?
No.
A lot of fun. Really good in there. That was the last thing I saw him in. Then you got Tracy, played by Olivia Munn. There is a sign in her office. Did you see the sign?
No.
There's a sign in her office that reads, the only stupid questions are the ones you ask me before you ask the web. I couldn't agree more. The number of times people ask, like, I've had people go, do you know if the tubes are running today? I'm like, fucking Google it.
Oh, but it takes time. Like, it's nice to speak to. There's been a study. It was in the news. It was in the press. Talking to strangers is really good for your health.
I read about this. I read about the fact that this is why I was trying to work out whether I still need to leave the house if I don't actually have anything to do. And this study said you should go out.
You definitely should.
And I was like, do I have to? And they're like, interacting with strangers.
Yeah, it's brilliant for you.
Really good for the mental health.
Because it feels like a barrier that you've overcome. I get asked for directions all the time. I think I look like I've got a nice face.
You do have a nice face.
Thank you. Do I look friendly and approachable? Because I get asked for directions probably about 3 times a minute when I'm walking down the street. I often don't know what to do.
But you have a go, right?
Oh, I do, yeah.
You don't like to not know something.
I don't like to not know. So I'm like, give me your phone. Sometimes I'll do their phone for them and be like, there's a map. Follow the map.
You do their phone.
I'll do their phone.
Great. Right. Yeah, I like that. I like the fact that she's got that sign. So we get a bit of subplot here. Yawn. Xena Tech, she's got this new internet thing. I mean, fine, you need a bit of plot. You need something at the end.
The best reason it works, I'll come to the end when we get to it because I've got some problems, but there's a through line for Josh, which is he's boring now, so then the car chase, that's the payoff for that. That's fine. I'll buy all of that.
Okay.
The tech stuff is a problem.
So we get this little bit of a little soupçon of a romance between Josh and Tracy that may or may not happen. We've got Alison, played by Vanessa Bayer. One of the great introductions of all the characters. You fucking motherfucker. If I hear you let your stripper girlfriend put my kids on a motorcycle one more time, I will gongle you so hard.
That's very funny.
She's good. She's good. Do you watch that I Think You Should Leave on Netflix?
No, is it good? Everyone says it's good.
It's great.
Is it really?
It's really
I'm looking
good.
For something else to binge because it's that time of year.
Each episode's only about 20 minutes long.
Perfect.
It's 3 seasons now. It's great.
Okay, I'll really watch
good.
It.
She's very good in it. She does this great skit about She's with a couple of friends and they're basically doing that sort of self-deprecating thing on Instagram where they're posting a really sexy picture of them.
Yeah.
And then they're going, oh, just hanging out with these like bitches or whatever. Yeah. And anyway, she just takes it too far. Eat slurping pig shit with these slut hogs. And they're like, why are you calling us slut hogs? She's so good in it. Anyway, I've paraphrased it badly. But
no,
it's
I know the post you mean, like cocktail time with these bitches. Yeah, I've seen that a lot. Yeah,
that kind of shit. And then we meet one of the great comic actors of our generation, TJ Miller. I think this man is amazing.
He's very good.
He's so good in everything. Silicon Valley was never the same when he left.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, but I believe you.
Mm. I said it on Monday, just funny bones. You know, not without his demons, all accounts.
That's what's making me a little bit nervous.
I can tell. Yeah. I can tell. You won't champion him as much as I am because, you know.
Well, I don't. The trouble is, I get scared to. I don't want to. Contrary to what I normally do, I feel a little bit nervy about wading in on something like this because I don't know anything about him. Mm. I didn't know who he was until we did Ready Player One.
Yeah, he's eye-rocking that.
I've never heard of him. Mm. So then it was like, oh, okay. Then it was like, oh, he's all a bit cancelled and whatnot. And I've read a little bit about what happened, but I don't know anything about it or him. And so for me, unusually, it's hard to have an opinion. But I don't know if he's a wrong one or not, basically. Because I don't really know what happened or not happened or whatever.
Well, let's just take him as a performer in this piece of art that we are discussing
today. Yeah, he's fantastic,
I wonder how often Office Christmas Party has been described as a piece of art.
Never.
Right. I'm happy to be the first. This piece of art. The directors, Speck and Gordon, say, what made this experience most fun was the actors. TJ Miller likes to have a good time, and it got chaotic whenever he showed up. We've never met anyone quite like him. We went into a bar once with him in Atlanta after shooting, and it was like being with Bill Clinton.
Right. Sex pest Bill Clinton. Sorry, don't sue me.
Within 5 or 10 minutes, he had 100 people focused on him. He just has this magnetic thing where you just want to have fun around him.
Yeah,
I can believe that.
A lot of that energy is there.
Mm. Or as Joss describes his character Clay in this movie, your mind's like a drunk baby. Good line. He says things that you sort of go, nah. On any other day, that wouldn't be as funny as it is. But right. His delivery of, it's so hard to shop for the bald. Who are they and what do they want?
Yeah, that's true. On paper, it's nothing.
Nothing.
He makes it sing. Yeah.
Makes it sing. Let's meet Jennifer Aniston as Carol.
I love Carol.
Do you love Carol?
Well, I love Jennifer Aniston. Mm. And her chemistry with Jason Bateman, which is documented over many feature films, is I love all of that.
Yeah, what is this? This is number 5. The Breakup, The Switch, Horrible Bosses 1 and 2 and this.
Yeah.
So on casting Aniston, Gordon says, we created this character for Jennifer because she's absolutely fearless. She's fearless. She's fearless when it comes
and
to
and she's
playing.
Friends with all of us, so it made perfect sense.
Well, it didn't mention that.
No,
mention of friendship.
It was very much an open casting policy, and Jen just won the role, and also we know her really well.
Yeah. She's fearless when it comes to playing somewhat unlikable characters in comedies. For her, the more daring the role, the better. That's what he says. For her, the more daring the role, the better.
Yeah, she's great.
Yep. One final mention. Randall Park, who obviously was in The Night Before, is in this as Fred.
Excuse me.
Brilliant scene. Carol is talking about their 12.5% versus 6.5%, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Clay walks in. She says, good, you're here. Have a seat. He goes, it's my branch. I prefer to stand.
Yeah.
And the first big laugh for me is like, Alison, will you please remove Clay's chair from the room?
It's good brother-sister stuff, though. That's why it works.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Then we find out that Carol, Clay's sister, Jennifer Aniston's character, she never had it easy, whereas Clay's always had it easy. So that's the dynamic between them that is going to create the payoff at the end.
And that's why his performance is good, because you should hate him. Mm. Like, he is a shit boss. He has wasted money. And they are in trouble and they've not been performing very well. And they do lampshade it in a minute because someone goes, oh, when we pull together, we're actually quite efficient. And it's like, oh, yeah, so there is a bit of a glaring logic gap there. But because he's so likeable, you're like, you're a fun boss. It doesn't matter that you shit.
Exactly. And I think it's a weird call, isn't it? At one point that you find out he's a trust fund kid. So he's like, if the company fails, you think he's got this trust fund to fall back on. But then they undo that by going, he spent that entire trust fund on propping up this company.
Which he should, because he's fucked the company. But it's fine.
Yeah, so they're going to throw a party to convince Walter Davis to do a deal with them. And they're going to throw the party. We get a sort of ticking clock. 5 hours they've got to set up.
I was
up
a bit
party.
Annoyed. I was like, so you love it, like the promise of the premise. Carol's going to close this branch unless you land this pitch. That's 20 minutes. And it's like, no. We should be there at 5 minutes. Like, what? Why have we spent 20 minutes laying the groundwork for the title of the film is Office Christmas Party? Let's just get there a bit soon. It's too long, isn't it? Like, for a comedy like this, it's easily 10 minutes too long. You love every minute.
I love every minute of it. And also, I don't want to find out about this party too soon. I want the party.
No, I think you could get there sooner and do more of a getting ready montage. I love the getting ready montage. I always love a montage.
How much alcohol can I legally buy from you?
Yeah, I was like, surely you're allowed to buy as much as you want?
You are.
Right.
But that's because TJ Miller is a god and he delivers that and you're like, that's brilliant.
Yeah, who are you talking to? We only talking to Sainsbury's. They're like, you can have as much as you want, as much as you can carry, friend. It's fine.
We get this little bit of subplot about Carol offering Josh a job in New York. She turns up at his flat.
Is there a sexual relationship between them two that was cut? She goes to his house. Why would she go to his house? Like, it's a bit forward, no?
No, I think it's to make bachelor pad jokes.
Well, no, I know that's what it's for, but like...
Because the cheap comments on the
rug. Right, all right, fine. Carry on.
How did you know about my divorce? You changed your emergency contact to self? Good lines. I think there are some actual good lines in the script. I think the improv around these lines is probably even better. Anyway, let's get to this party right after this break.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Oh, that was convenient.
That was good.
Right?
Yeah, I love
Thanks.
That.
Thanks.
That's why you do what you do.
I mean, I won't lie, it was a happy accident. But fuck it. I'll take it, man. Right, it's the party now. I've been banging on about how this is one of cinema's greatest ever parties. So this is what the directors say about it. If you shoot a movie at a party, it better be a party you want to hang out at. In a weird way, the party, that euphoric, out-of-control environment, is sort of the star of the movie.
Yes.
I agree.
I would love to go to this party. I just got nervous when I saw the toilets, because what I like is a lot of space, It looked like you'd have to wait. You know what I'm like about my hair and shit like that. And like, I need to have my dreams. When you take me nice places, such as a private... What I'm saying is private members clubs.
I thought it sort of sounded like expectation. Like when you eventually...
So you take me to nice places. And then nice places, you've got your own bathroom, essentially, haven't you? So you've got your own mirror, your own sink, whatever. So you can just be like... Oh my God, I can just adjust the makeup, do the hair without someone being like, are you done? Like, which is the pubs I go to where people bang on the door. Are you done yet?
Are you, you the one hosting that quiz? That's really annoying me.
Can you pass me some bog roll? No, not the places you take me to. So the toilets made me nervous. Mm. But apart from that, yes, I like that party.
Okay, I hadn't really considered the toilet situation.
I think about it quite a lot.
Everyone seems to be having sex in the toilets later
on. So where do you go from
here?
That
is true. Or a number...
What?
Oh, no, not the other one.
Or the other. I just, you know, maybe someone's got their own office toilet.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. They based this party on John Landis and Harold Ramis movies from back in the 70s and 80s, right. That kind of party. I get that, kind of Animal House vibe.
Yeah.
They said they had 300-plus extras who was with us for the whole shoot. We built a massive set on two side-by-side sound stages. It was totally immersive. You walked onto set, even though it was spring-lit lantern, it felt like a non-stop Christmas party in downtown Chicago. It was like Vegas in the casinos with no clocks. It had its own energy.
Wow.
I want to be on that set.
Yeah, me too. I want to be in the party. I don't want to work. I mean, being on a set is work, so.
No, I hope those water coolers were actually full of tequila, gin and vodka.
I like that as an idea.
Right?
Yeah.
This is thought that's gone into this party.
Yeah, because they've had a fun session, relaxed, and gone, what makes a brilliant party? And then they've done it.
Yeah. Clay prays for this deal to go through because he genuinely wants to save the branch because he's a good guy and also tell Prince and David Bowie how much they meant to everybody.
When he says, they know.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
I mean, Labyrinth and Purple Rain. And for more on Labyrinth, do listen to one of our early episodes, Labyrinth versus Free Jack.
Free Jack.
What's the connection, you say? Actors who were in the video for Dancing in the Street.
Dancing in the Street, yeah. And other films that they did. Mm. It works.
It did. It did at the time. Still finding our feet. So obviously, the party's kicking off. Kate McKinnon, Mary, she's head of HR. All right. Even though it's dark outside, the rules don't turn off.
I love that.
Mm? Remember, the decisions you make tonight will haunt you for the rest of your professional lives.
Yeah.
So have fun. She's wonderful. She's wonderful. So, as I said, on Monday, we got a famous footballer, a Chicago Bulls all-star, Jimmy Butler. Don't know who he is, don't follow American football, but it was Mark Wahlberg who suggested him for the movie.
Okay.
There you go. Right. Nate. We haven't really talked about Nate. He hires Savannah, an escort, to appear like he has a girlfriend to his bullying colleagues.
That's right.
And we meet Gillian Bell again from Monday's movie here playing Trina, the pimp.
Yep, that's all good. That all works. Lovely.
It does. Jason Bateman sucking on an eggnog luge.
Oh!
You really hate eggnog, don't you?
No, and how surprised are you? But there is something I won't drink.
Mm, I am surprised, especially because eggnog is bloody delicious.
How is that possible? Mm. Listen to the list of no, never, never, never. And the eye stick thing is very funny.
Very funny.
But I just
and
don't
also because it's eggnog. And what does it look like?
What?
Actually, you're ill if it looks like that. So no, it doesn't
look like that. Is that how you can tell? Oh, I must be ill.
Honestly, see a doctor.
Yeah, that is not normal. It's not a refreshing drink, is it? Is it? I've had one once and I thought it was gross.
White Russian's not a refreshing drink.
I know, but I hate them too. I won't drink them.
How about a Kahlua?
Yeah, I love Kahlua.
Well, then it's like that.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. All right, fine.
So we got there in the end, a sort of thick, creamy drink that you like.
Something I will drink.
Merry Christmas.
Jesus, Alex.
God, you started this with your fucking sex party you're throwing tomorrow night.
But the charity aren't paying for it, so you see the difference.
And then for any other...
I'm paying for it, everyone.
HR aren't invited.
They're not invited. They don't even know it's happening. That's not even a joke. We're just leaving the office.
Really? Do you have to run external parties by them?
I don't know. We're in a weird position where we're just going to be a bit bossy about it and just leave. So I'm definitely going to get fired. Where's Vicky? Where's the team? She's taking them to the pub at 12 o'clock. Oh, okay.
Quiz and sex. Lovely. Right, we get this Alison and Fred scene in the daycare room where it turns out Fred has a fetish.
That is so upsetting. I was upset when Alison was in the nursery anyway, because I was like, oh, she doesn't want to be there. She's got a night off. Mm. But I was like, okay, but the fetish thing is just, they're both very funny in it, but I found it so alarming. I'm not easily shocked with stuff like that, but that turned my stomach.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy to begin with. I think it's all in the script. The line, something's happening in my diaper.
Oh, God.
That's where you go, this is so dark.
That's gross.
So uncomfortable.
You'd call the police. Awkward. I'd call the police, I think.
Well, that's not what Alison says. She says, save that shit for the fourth date like a normal person.
Very funny.
Very funny. Why is Olivia Munn and Jason Bateman dancing in snowman suits so fucking funny?
It's really well cut. Like, it's not as funny as they're like, let's get this party started, so we're going to dance in the snowman suits. If you were watching it for real, it's not as good as with the sharp cuts, obviously, but you're not watching it for real, and it is very good.
So good. So good. And so then Walter gets blasted in the face with cocaine.
Ha, ha, ha. It's great.
It really is. And he's like, now, having been quite reserved, he's like,
he's been professional.
Let's get fucked up! And at that point, you're like, yeah, this party is going. Then we see Carol with the little girl Darcy in the airport. It's a good scene.
It's funny.
Very funny. One of my favourite scenes in the movie is Clay on stage doing karaoke to DJ Call, Let Me Clear My Throat.
I fucking love that song so
much. Oh my God!
have you heard the live version? It's on Spotify. The live version. There's like a very well-known live version. Sorry, I sound like your mum, but there is. And it's fucking amazing. I listen to it all the time. One of my best memories of the wedding is Angela going to me, is this on your wedding playlist? I was like, yes, it fucking is. Then I knew things were turning.
Yes!
Sorry, Auntie Christine.
Fucking know it. How is it not on yours, bitch?
Yeah. And then Mary with the call and response for each. I was like, I just love it.
It's great. Yeah, when they're all on stage, Walter, Clay, Mary. Ugh, it's just brilliant. We find out a little bit of romance stuff here. Josh had the chance to date Tracy, but screwed it up. And then we get that classic moment when the kiss is interrupted again. Rob Corddry not being particularly funny. It's that classic, I'm just pissing here and I don't really care joke. Is this a real thing? You work in offices more than me. I haven't worked in an office for a while. Is people photocopying their chest or bum or dick, is that a real thing or is that a movie trope?
It's a movie trope, but it also feels like a British sitcom. It feels like a trope that's absolutely everywhere in Western comedy that I know of. And I've never seen anyone do it. No one's ever expressed an interest in doing it. It seems logistically, it seems like quite a dull thing to do. Mm. You'll break the glass. Like, if someone sits on the glass of that, you're going to shatter that glass.
Which is why I can't ever enjoy it, because I always think about that. I always think about getting...
Have you done it?
No.
When you said, I mean, I never enjoy it, it's like the times I've done it.
When I've been forced to do it, when I've been held, like, I've been derobed and thrust onto a photocopier against my will. No, I mean, when I can never enjoy these scenes in movies, because I always think,
you're going to get glass right up there.
Inside you.
Yeah, well, hospital, or death, actually, or both.
Or both, great.
No, I've never known it. I don't know, it must have started somewhere in a bit of
art. It feels really 70s as well.
Yeah, it does.
It feels like a sort of naughty
British.
Yeah,
like Benny Hill, sort of. Like, this is the naughtiest thing we can think of. It's like, it's just not. But maybe it's when photocopiers were so new. They do it with the 3D printer. Now, that makes more sense because that's
funny.
Updating it. But actually doing your boobs on them, no.
Let's talk about the moment things start to fall apart. Walter's fall.
Oh,
it's every time, weirdly, and I'll say now, it's not my favourite scene in the movie, but it's the scene I remember because it's just so well done. It's the face off the filing cabinet.
Yeah, that's mad.
So I actually did a little bit of reading around this. This is Speck and Gordon, the writers, directors. The scene where Courtney B. Vance's character Walter swings from the Christmas lights really represented the high watermark of the chaos of the party, and we knew that was a must-land stunt. We tested it for weeks before we shot it, but still the extras were totally freaked out. They thought the guy had really injured himself.
How do you do that sort of thing? It's madness.
No, I know. So, Carol arrives at the party. She's going to shut this place down. That's it. It's over. And people overhear her. And so that makes them go, all right, this is the end. Yeah. This is now an end of days party. Fuck shit up. Clay gets kidnapped by Trina the pimp.
Do you not think it feels a bit... He's got his 2-drink limit. And that is because of challenges with alcohol, I assume, otherwise he wouldn't have a 2-drink limit. Mm. And it just feels a bit serious and a bit sad. And I thought maybe a better way would be like, oh, don't give me, insert whichever booze here.
Eggnog.
Don't give me eggnog, I'll go mental. Or don't give me tequila, whatever. Don't give me mezcal, I'll make a bad decision. But
stop naming drinks I love.
Sorry. But don't give me more than 2 drinks. He's like someone that's had to set a limit for themselves because, well, for obvious reasons. I just felt a bit grown up. I wasn't...
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, not that relatable, because most people don't set... Most people that drink haven't got that 2-drink limit, whereas a lot of people that drink have got one thing they won't touch because it sends them loopy.
So you've only got eggnog. There's nothing else on that list.
I don't not touch eggnog because it sends me loopy. I don't touch it because it's vile.
Right. I don't think I know what's in it, which I don't want to know either, because it might put me off.
I used to not love tequila, but I'd only drunk very cheap tequila, so I didn't touch that for years. I can't drink, it's only a very minor thing. I can't drink Orange Wicked. Can't drink it. That'll come flying right back out.
Yeah, but you fucking love the blue stuff.
I don't mind it.
Oh, you've changed.
I like it, obviously I like it.
Why,
because I'm trying to be classy lady, aren't I? Like, okay, you know, I can't go around saying I like blue wicked all the time.
You dressed up real nice as well.
Real nice.
I've it feels like a great party. That is my note. So they were asked, the directors were asked, were people really partying on set?
Can't have been.
Cue the party line. Sadly, no. At 8 a.m, I don't think anyone wants to drink or smoke anything. They just want to get through the scene they're shooting and figure out what's going to be for lunch. But by the time we got to the wrap party, I think people were sort of pent up and ready to actually have real drinks in their cups. It got a little bit big and out of control.
Great.
That's what you want to hear. You want to hear the wrap party for Office Christmas Party was nuts.
Was fun, yeah.
So, we find out Clay has no trust fund left. We've done that. That's nice. It means that he's a generous guy. Carol doesn't care if Clay dies. I know it's only for a moment where she gets in the lift, but it's still pretty dark.
It's quite dark, yeah.
Clay is doing a snowflake of cocaine.
I've never seen that before, and it's so obvious, and it's so brilliant.
Okay, we're going to need snow. Cocaine.
So good.
Yeah, it's good because it's also funny, them comparing their jobs, his day at the office, to her being a pimp.
Yeah, I thought the scene was going to switch and she was going to change her mind. She's like, oh, kindred spirit. And it would be Savannah that was like, we are still going to rob him. But she's always going to rob him. But I just thought it would be funny to have that like reversal, maybe.
Savannah should start a podcast saying Savannah says the stupidest things. Again. That's
funny.
It's a good line. So, Josh, Tracy, Mary and Carol turn up at the Rough Bar. This is Kate McKinnon improving because it's in the outtakes at the end. Last year I filed a sexual assault case against myself.
Yeah.
And then the bit, she's just like, she. You know when a comic can milk something from nothing? The bit where she just sits down opposite the guy who's... doing the alien's knife thing with his hand, and she just forces her hand in front of the knife. You're just like...
She's really good.
Just great. and then the party has now descended into pure anarchy. I keep saying things like... You know we did Iron Man 3 recently?
Yes.
I can't stop saying things in the same way as, you'll never see me coming.
If I may, why should you stop?
Thank you, it's Christmas.
But you could do it always. It can be, quote marks, your funny thing.
Great. So, I love the party. It's now descended into anarchy. Jesus riding through on a horse. Funny.
Brilliant.
What an image. What an image. It's really well shot as well.
Really well shot.
vending machine going out the window, jousting with flaming Christmas trees. He doesn't say anything in this scene, but it is as funny as seeing Rob Corddry on a throne from the gate from Game of Thrones, presiding over everything, holding a baby.
Brilliant.
Lovely stuff. And then we're sort of into this big car chase scene. In the end, there's a crash. Kate McKinnon laughing hysterically as they're spinning out of control. Every scene she's in. And then we're in a hospital. the crash fixed a previous fracture in Clay.
Yeah.
What I love about the end of this movie is everything gets tied off.
Well, no, it takes a very long time, but I'll come back to that.
Yeah, I'll come back to that as well.
Okay, great.
I'll probably come back to it first.
Okay, if you have to.
No, if you want to go first.
No, it's my change, so I'll say
it. Oh, it was my change as well.
Oh, really?
So who's... I probably should go first.
Okay, go on then. Wait, is it the end of the film now?
We're not doing that yet. So... Tracy works out something with air, where and toasters, new internet.
Yeah.
We see the aftermath of the party. It looks incredible. It really does feel like the aftermath of a party. Fred is going to do Allison's taxes, so she doesn't tell anyone.
Doesn't tell him to go to jail.
Yeah. The bullies who were bullying Nate about his fake girlfriend have their entire search histories, because it's sort of really subplot, but they were hacking people's internet find out stuff about them. So now they've had their own hacked and all their details are on a whiteboard behind them. Rob Corddry, Jeremy and Mary make up because they shared a dance earlier.
And he loves their dancing.
He loves their dancing.
That'll do. In terms of script stuff for a film like this, that's absolutely perfect.
It's the fact that everyone gets a payoff.
Yes.
Like, literally everyone. Yeah.
You have to work hard, because it's easy to be like, let's just get out, let's finish the film, we're done. Mm. But the smarter thing to do is to give all these characters that you love, because you've seen them have a party, to give them an end.
Yeah, because Nate and Allison get together, and that is purely from one scene where Nate is talking to her, goes, you deserve someone really nice.
Yes.
And then he gets dragged away by the escort he's hired. So they get together. Clay and Carol make up. It wasn't fair that he got to be the fun one. Walter, even, he gets a job with Xenotech at the end. And that's about it.
Oh, lovely. Well done. It's a sign of how much more I've grown as a person.
Mm.
When Clay's outside the hospital and the joke is the doctor's like, you can't drink on this medication. And he's like, I won't drink, I will drink. I was like, I don't think you should. I actually don't think you should. I think it might kill you, but...
Boring. And we get some great outtakes. So the director's statement at the end of this, office Christmas parties have become sort of an endangered species. Not if you work for Vicky, they haven't. A draw for us was the idea of a movie being a rallying cry that maybe we've gone too far. Maybe we need to bring this tradition back a little bit. Our hope is to be responsible for a lot of people getting fired at their office Christmas parties next year.
Steady on.
We talked about this on Monday, actually, but it cost $45 million.
Yep.
Made $140 million.
Amazing. Good work, everyone.
Well done. Well done, you guys. And in some territories, it was sold on DVD, not as Office Christmas Party, but as Dirty Office Party.
Dirty Office
Party. So it could be sold all year round and not
Brilliant.
A Christmas movie.
God, well done, marketing. Mm. We never do it. Shout out to marketing.
We have shouted out marketing before. right then, that is it.
Yep.
Let's do the bits.
Okay.
What is your best scene?
It's not a scene, but I don't care. It's let me clear my throat. I don't give a shit.
Exactly the same. Doing my countdown moment.
Am I working out? It's fine. You're not cheating.
Yeah. It's just brilliant. I don't know what it is about it, but it's, you know, for a movie that basically has set out to put on screen the best party, it shouldn't be as good. Like, they've done it. They found a way to make someone singing that on stage.
Yeah, truth.
Just the best. Most valuable whatever. I know, I'm going. Can I guess yours?
Yeah, of course you can.
Kate McKinnon.
No.
Oh, interesting.
No, strong competition for MVW this week.
Mm.
Almost TJ Miller, but I think you're going to choose him because it is a very silly film and he's holding that together. Courtney B. Vance.
As Walter.
I think he's so good. Like, yeah, I just feel like a character, I just want to know everything about him. He's all stiff and he's all sad about companies not looking after their staff, and then he flies like an eagle, and then he the way he performs it is, this is such a stupid thing to say, but you want to spend a bit more time with him. I want to get to know him. Why are you sad? Why do you feel undervalued? What's gone on there?
Mm.
And that's in the performance. It's so silly, but I was really taken with him. I think he's ever so good.
Amazing. You were right, TJ Miller.
I know.
TJ Miller.
Although when Kate McKinnon says to Jeremy, whoever he is, at the end, when he's not wearing any trousers, she just says, put your pants back on. And when she says that, unbelievable. Unreal. Anyway.
And only about Kate McKinnon can get away with, literally, it's a fart gag in the board meeting. You're like,
yeah.
Are we doing a fart gag?
I know.
And still.
I was surprised by that.
She gets it right, though. Yeah. She does it. And the cheese board, oh. which is brilliant. But no, it's TJ Miller for me, which means we are at the moment where we announce our changes.
Okay.
You can go first.
So this anywhere thing, this new internet, we've set it up. It's a bit boring because it doesn't make any sense to an idiot like me. No one knows what new internet is. Car crashes at the end, the Fast and Furious scene. We've knocked out the internet. That's it. We know there's a solution. I do not need to see you test the tech. Of course the tech works. This is a fucking Christmas film. There's absolutely no way that that scene ends with someone going, it doesn't work, by the way, and the company's dead. You can lose that 15 minutes. And also, last thing, the kiss. This is a Christmas film, everyone. If we're going to have a kiss, it's got to be at the end. That's the law. Why are we kissing in the middle on a roof? Ridiculous. You kiss outside the hospital. Mm. Do you not know anything? That's it.
Right, my change then. Is
are you all right?
Just really. I just had a bit of cake.
And right, just all the carbs are like trying to come out of your head.
I just loved it so much. I think I'm crying because it's so beautiful. Ultimate werewolf. Right, Clay or Josh? I don't care. Someone makes the jump at the end. You do not have
two cars
racing towards that bridge, having said how fast you need to think you need to be going. One of them makes it. They crash afterwards. You kind of all the same beats, but like Clay or Josh. Like, makes that jump.
Okay, yeah.
It's insane not to do it. We're all waiting for the big car stunt. And, I know the car sort of, Clay's car sort of goes in the air and stuff, but he needs to make the jump and have a moment of, fucking made it! And then crash.
And then a crash, yeah. That's fair.
Ugh. That's it, then. Office Christmas party is finished, which means it is time for... I'm going to stop doing it. You said I could just keep doing it and it can be my thing. I think it's just going to get really annoying.
I see you. It's fine.
All right, then. So it's time for the verdict.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
I'll go first.
Go. Then I can eat some cake, so go on.
You, okay, yeah. So, it's only a brief verdict this week from me, but I'll try and pad it out by doing... That's a lot of cake. I'm going to do a big bit now.
You normally talk for fucking ages.
The amount of my verdict is equivalent to the amount of cake you just shoved in your mouth, so a lot. So, I enjoyed The Night Before a lot more this time, but the Nutcracker Ball is shit. I hate it. It makes me feel sick, that party. The idea that is in some way this mythical party, you can just do one. So, yeah, I don't. In all due respect to Miley Cyrus, who is a very talented artist and actor, but if that's your entertainment for a party, it's no, there's nothing cool about that. So, yeah, nope. No to that party. Office Christmas Party has two amazing, amazing characters. TJ Miller as Clay. That fucking party. That party. It's a character in its own right.
It's a character in itself.
It's a character in itself.
Much like New York at Christmas, this party in Chicago is a character in its own right.
So, yeah, Office Christmas Party. Chris's vote next. He sent me his.
He did.
The Night. See, I can't even remember that bullshit movie. No. The Night Before. The Night Before. So it's one apiece. Vicky Crompton, it is down to you. Our final Merry Clashmas Christmas countdown. Who is our winner going to be?
So The Night Before should be a slam dunk, shouldn't it? Because it's Grown Up Super Bad at Christmas. And I love that film. And it's got this emotional surprise, this through line of change and grief and moving on. But I've seen it twice. I just don't think it's that funny. And all the funny people are there. So my expectations are higher. Therefore, it falls further. Office Christmas Party. I was quite ambivalent about it because I thought it was horrible bosses. But despite that... despite the lack of a decent story engine... It's just so stupidly entertaining. I was just grinning like a moron the whole time. I said this to you, Mark Parsons was sat next to me and he's like, why are you grinning like an idiot? And I was like, no reason. Hmm. And he had to move away from me because he was so annoyed by what he was seeing.
I love the fact, there is something to be said about this movie, the fact that you felt like that, because I think there's something in this movie that I cannot quantify or qualify that just makes it
it's
so
joyous.
Much fun.
I know. And obviously it could be better. I think Test the Tech is actually unforgivable, but the funny cameos are good. The party looks god fucking so much better. So I think this might annoy Chris a little bit, but it is Office Christmas Party.
I love it.
But honestly,
it is.
Yeah,
it is. It is.
It just is
the better film, the better Christmas movie. Our winner this week is Office Christmas Party. Our final Merry Clashmas Christmas countdown winner, possibly. the greatest Christmas movie of all time?
Let's say it is.
TBC. TBC. It's either this or It's a Wonderful Life. One of the two. It's hard.
Time will tell.
Hard to pick.
Yeah, they've both been out a while.
Yeah, I think because this has only been out about, you know, 7-8 years now, mm-hmm. you know, it's growing every year. It's becoming more and
of a
more
threat to it. It's a Wonderful Life.
Well, an unfair title. I don't think it deserves it. It's a Wonderful Life, whereas Office Christmas Party, it's just going to grow and grow.
Sure.
Right then. That is it. Our final Merry Christmas countdown is done. Some sad news now, which we've left intentionally till the end of the show so we could all enjoy this week's episodes together. But this is our penultimate week making Clash of the Titles. Next week's episodes will be our very last episodes of the show. And on a personal note, this is my actual last ever Clash of the Titles show, period. But the glorious duo of Vicky and Chris will be here to say a final farewell next week, won't you?
Of course.
Of course you will.
Of course.
Of course. Of course. So I know that's a bit of a bombshell, but the two takeaways are we have absolutely loved making this show for the last 4.5 years and over 400 episodes. It's been so much fun, which has largely been down to you guys listening every week. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much, every single one of you who has been part of this journey. It's a cliche, but we really couldn't have made it without you turning up each week to listen to us babble about film. So thank you for being all in with this show. Big shout out to our producer Nikki, who has done glorious work
on
the
show. Incredible. Thank you, Nikki.
Week in, week out. So thank you, Nikki, and thank you to all of you Clash podders far and wide for supporting and enjoying Clash of the Titles. And one final thank you to the legend and icon, Tim Curry. And that completes our final obligatory Tim Curry
Jesus
reference.
Man, beautiful.
Do you want to add anything or do you want to save your goodbye for next week?
I just want to say the same as you. Just thank you to everybody. Like, this has been one of the best things. It's just been one of the best gifts of my life. Honestly, I didn't think I could do anything like this. And the people that listen just made me realise that, I don't know, things that feel really difficult and hard and impossible and uncomfortable on occasion, it's just been so rewarding. I would never have thought that I would ever even do this, let alone for 4 and a bit years, and for it to just be, just give me a second. That's just the cake, I'm not sad. But for it to just be as lovely as it's been every single week is amazing. That's it, so no more.
All right, then. So, humorously, I know what's coming, but what movies are we closing out our tenure as Clash of the Titles?
This is going to make me cry.
Hosts, as what are we picking? What was the clue and what are the movies?
The clue was we're finally having a lot of fun and we're doing, I don't even think I can say this, we're doing Dante's Peak versus Volcano. Do you want to explain why we're doing that?
This was the pitch that we...
this is how good we are at pitching. We're like, do you know Dante's Peak and Volcano? Someone's like, maybe. Yeah, anyway, point being, they're so similar.
Basically, the premise of the show was built around the idea that Dante's Peak and Volcano are two movies about volcanoes, and there's a lot of
but
movies
but one of them
like
might be
that.
Better than the other.
Yeah. And so we pitched it, and then we just never got round to ever doing them.
No, it felt too weird to do it, because I think we were nervous if we did it, and we were shit at it, then the whole thing falls over, doesn't it? So we just left it.
Yeah, but they're finally getting their day in the sun.
I hope they're good.
Dante's Peak versus Volcano. Chris and Vicky will be seeing you out for the final ever Clash of the Titles pairing next week. I'm sure it'll be a good one, and I'm sure Chris will love saying goodbye to you as well. But thank you again for listening, and have a lovely, lovely weekend, Christmas, and a happy new year. Bye bye.
Clash of the Titles is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Mom.
mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.